But what Jimmy did every day was he ran a program that was disciplined, based on discipline and based on accountability. And that process was led to myself coming in from a college that we went 6-5 every year at Arizona State, and we didn't have a winning mentality. When I walked in the door, the Dallas Cowboys, the year before they had went 11-5, went into the playoffs, lost to the Detroit Lions in the second round of the playoffs. So when I came in the building, they were expected to go a little bit further. They were going to take the next step. And that next step is the NFC Championship, hopefully the Super Bowl. And the mentality and the culture within that organization was, you do your job. And it was kind of a selfish mentality because it started with Jimmy was a believer in you take care of yourself and then you can take care of other people. But if you don't show up on time, if you're not disciplined, if you're not doing the right thing, then you can't add this to what we're trying to build over here.
Hello and welcome to TrackCast, the official podcast of the Real Estate Council. From deep in the heart of Dallas, Texas, I'm Bill San Antonio. Thank you for joining us. I know I say this pretty often on our show, but it's particularly true today. We've got a very special treat for you all. We're bringing you a replay of Passion and Purpose, Darren Woodson's entrepreneurial drive. Woodson, of course, is the three-time Super Bowl champion safety, three-time first-team All-Pro, five-time Pro Bowler, and member of the Dallas Cowboys' prestigious Ring of Honor. He was also the 2002 recipient of the NFL's Bart Starr Award, which is given each year to the player who best exemplifies outstanding character and leadership in the home, on the field, and in the community. Today, Woodson is a managing partner with Cresa Global, Inc., and he joined Kim Butler of Hall Group last month to reminisce about his glory days on the gridiron and offer some insight into how to build winning teams on the football field and in the boardroom. You'll hear their conversation in just a bit, and we'd like to thank Darren and Kim for their time, as well as the AT&T Discovery District for hosting us. Before we get started, I'd like to remind you to subscribe to TrackCast on your favorite podcast app and follow Trek and Trek Community Investors on social media to get the latest from around the organization. Now, here's Kim Butler and Darren Woodson in conversation right here on TrackCast.
Terrific. Good morning. I'm Kim Butler with Hall Group, and I'm excited for our program today with Darren Woodson. I want to thank you for joining us and thank AT&T Discovery District for hosting our conversation. You know, I believe strongly in the Real Estate Council's mission. It's to cultivate relationships in the commercial real estate industry, to catalyze community investment, influence policy, propel careers, and develop the leaders of tomorrow. Said that mission statement just a few times. But at Trek, we believe relationships are the lifeblood of career success, community investment, and civic responsibility. Darren Woodson is a household name here in Dallas and beyond. Many of you have followed Darren's career and know that he is a three-time Super Bowl champion, a five-time Pro Bowl selection. He's described by Sports Illustrated as one of the hardest hitters in the NFL. He was inducted into the most prestigious Cowboys Ring of Honor. And bottom line, he's one of the best players to ever wear a Dallas Cowboy uniform. After retiring from the NFL, Darren worked as a football analyst for 14 years at ESPN, appearing on NFL Live, SportsCenter, and others. In 2017, Darren transitioned his leadership skills into the commercial real estate industry, where he is currently managing principal at Cresa Global, Inc., a global advisory firm focused exclusively on servicing occupiers of space. He's also president and founder of Counterfind, a company that has developed a world-class technology platform that currently used by businesses across the globe for protecting their brands. But what some of you may not know about Darren Woodson is that and I verified this, it's amazing. In only his second year in the league, at 23 years old, he became a captain of the Cowboys team. And as a young man, clearly emerged as a leader. In 2002, he received the Bart Starr Award, which is given to only one member of the NFL a year. The recipient exemplifies outstanding character and leadership at home, on the field, and in his community. He's made significant contributions in the community and consistently supports C5 Youth Foundation and other organizations. He continues to coach and teach others how to tackle the challenges of leadership, build a winning team, and compete to be the best. He inspires others to move beyond the mediocre and to create cultures of excellence. So, Darren, how did a man with your leadership skills and accomplishments kind of start out in the world? Tell me about your early years.
First of all, that is a long bio.
That is a long bio.
We need to cut it up.
Yeah.
Oh, did you? Because I said we need to cut that one back.
Fun.
If I gave you that, I'm sorry. I apologize.
No, you did not. You did not. I came up with a lot of that.
Kim, I start back when I was the youngest of four kids. My mother was a single mom. In Phoenix, Arizona. We grew up in an area called Henson Projects and then moved later on to an area called Maryville, which is in the West Phoenix. What I've learned over the years, and I'll tell you, my mother is my hero. She's always been my hero. I saw that woman wake up every day at 4:30, catch a bus when our car was or was not working. She caught a bus, she killed her first job, catch another bus, go to her second job. And I saw her at about 11 o'clock in the evening. That was Monday through Friday. And somehow, some way, she still tracked us in school. She still found a way to get us to football and basketball and baseball practice and kept us off the street. And, you know, I think one of the things I learned from her early on was a process, setting up a process, not only for herself, but for her kids as well, to keep us out of harm's way. And that was making sure we were on the bus at the same time. Actually, first of all, was putting someone in leadership role. And that was my sister, who was 7 years older than I was. And she was the oldest of the group. But she found a way to get us up in the morning, make us breakfast, get us on a school bus, get us to and from school, making sure we're at an after-school program, all those things. And my mom set that process in place for the simple reason of keeping us off the street and keeping us out of harm's way. So that was the one thing I really learned from her early on. And I've applied that in my life as well. I'm a process person. I everything I do is kind of planned out the day or 2 days before.
So I hear, as I was reading and learning more about you, you have a philosophy in the morning, put your shoes on.
Yeah, put my shoes on first. Actually, it's the process starts the night before. Put my shoes next to the sink. So when I wake up in the morning and I wake up at about 5:27, I don't know why that time, but I don't have an alarm clock. I just wake up about that time. I roll out of bed and I try to get a workout in every morning. Mm-hmm. So I put my shoes next to the sink the night before, and first order of business, wash my face, put my shoes on. And people always ask me, why are you putting your shoes on first? And I said, well, if I get back in bed, my wife would kill me, right? So I'm not putting those dirty shoes on. But you know, there's a battle. There's a process every day because, you know, the norm, you know, for me, it's if I don't put my shoes on, then the coward that I'm looking at in the mirror is not going to want to go work out. It's going to want me to go back and get in the bed every single day. So I figured out a way to overcome some of those obstacles by setting up this process to put my shoes on, put my clothes on, and then go on about my day. Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. And so you went on from, you played at Arizona State.
Yes.
And I know that you had a mentor there, probably more than one.
Yes.
Mentorship at Trek is so much of our process of, you know, training new leaders and emerging leaders. Tell us about your mentor.
So I've had two. So I want to go back because the one you're talking about is Lovie Smith, who was my coach, position coach at Arizona State, who ended up being the Chicago Bears head coach. But he was my position coach at Arizona State. But I want to go back. When I was in sixth grade, I had a teacher named Mr. McGuire. And it was predominantly, Black and Hispanic school that I went to. Mr. McGuire was an old Marine, military Marine guy, very disciplined in his ways, and he was known as the tough teacher on campus. And I had had issues reading since I was in third grade. I mean, when I really started reading was in third grade, fourth grade, and I always had these issues and that I couldn't overcome, and I didn't have a lot of confidence. And I had a ton of confidence out on the basketball court. They had zero confidence in the grade room
Classroom.
when the classroom when they asked me to read. And Mr.
You think you
McGuire,
had maybe a learning disability and just didn't know it?
I didn't know it.
Yeah.
I absolutely didn't know it. Well, we got over it really quick because Mr. McGuire early on noticed it, and he forced me to show up at school at 6 a.m. No one's there. I remember being dark getting to school. I had to be there Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. the entire year. And it became the norm. It became the fact of just getting up and going, right? But he stood in the gap and taught me how to read. And when he did so, I was just in seventh and eighth grade, I was digesting books. Like I just felt like that was, what he taught me early on was not only discipline, but how to overcome some of the reading issues that I had and put a plan in place for me, right? So he was probably my first mentor. Second one was Lovie Smith, and the fact that Lovie Smith became that father figure that I never had. He poured into me early on and taught me how to be a man, not just the football field, but off the field, and how to treat people and how to respect time. So I had a problem with time. I don't know if you after Mr. McGuire, after I left that and went into high school, I forgot all about showing up early in the morning and being on time and respecting other people's time. And Lovie Smith taught me a lot about time by running me early in the
Cool.
morning and
You
make
got your
sure I
life together.
understood that that time is important. So but not only that, but just the discipline in how to treat people and what's expected of me as a leader. So for 4 years, he poured into me. I became a part of his family, and he just till this day, he's been a
Oh,
great mentor for me.
that's awesome. Well, he said that his wife is probably the best judge of character.
Yeah.
And she recognized early on that you were special
Yeah. Yeah.
and you should be a part of their life.
Well, I was bringing
So
donuts to the house too, so that's that
that'll
age
do it
that
every
does
time.
it. Yeah.
That'll do it every
Yeah.
time.
We'll be right back to Kim and Darren's talk in just a bit, but first I wanted to tell you that tickets are now on sale for our first Market Matters event of the year, which is coming up on Wednesday, March 27th at Arts District Mansion. Entitled Retail Therapy: Boosting North Texas's Real Estate Mood, the panel discussion will cover the state of the retail market and how this crucial sector of the commercial real estate industry is expected to perform in 2024 and keep pace with DFW's growth. Spoiler alert, retail is in a solid place right now, with a 95% occupancy rate as of 2023 year-end that covers 137 million square feet of development across the Metroplex. The panel will be moderated by Trek chairman and recent TrekCast guest, Mike Geisler of Venture Commercial Real Estate. Speakers include Artemio De La Vega of De La Vega Development, Tim Hughes of Falcon Realty Advisors, Sam Littlejohn of CBRE, Terry Montesi of Trademark Property Company, and Eric Seitz of The Seitz Group. Get your tickets now at recouncil.com/upcoming-events. That's recouncil.com/upcoming-events. Now, let's get back to the show.
So I know cultures of excellence is something that, is part of your hallmark, and you were probably a part of one of the greatest dynasties and
Yeah.
cultures of all time, with the Cowboys during that era of Jimmy Johnson.
Yeah.
How did that he go about creating that culture, or the organization create that
Yeah.
culture of excellence?
Well, Jimmy one was he came from a winning program at the University of Miami. So he and at Oklahoma State, he'd always been a winner everywhere he went. And again, he set up processes along the way and brought in great coaches to help coach along with him. I'm talking the Butch Davises, the Dave Campos, the Wonstedts of the world. A lot of those guys went on to be head coaches. But what Jimmy did every day was he ran a program that was disciplined, based on discipline and based on accountability. And that process was led to myself coming in from a college that we went 6-5 every year at Arizona State. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have a winning mentality. When I walked in the door, the Dallas Cowboys, the year before they had went 11-5, went into the playoffs, lost to the Detroit Lions in the second round of the playoffs. So when I came in the building, they were expected to go a little bit further. They were going to take the next step. And that next step is the NFC Championship, hopefully the Super Bowl. And the mentality and the culture within that organization was, you do your job. And it was kind of a selfish mentality because it started with Jimmy was a believer in you take care of yourself and then you can take care of other people. But if you don't show up on time, if you're not disciplined, if you're not doing the right thing, then you can't add this to what we're trying to build over here. And it was a tough, tough way of going about practices every day. We battled at practice. There were a lot of fights, a lot of arguments, but the competition was what really brought us together as a team. And we had leaders like Troy Aikman and Michael Irvin and Emmitt Smith and not only those guys, but the Ken Nortons of the world and the Tony Topper, so many players, the guys who had been in the league 5 or 6 years who were the superstars, they worked harder than anyone. And I saw that early on. They set the tone. So, you know, a guy like Daryl Johnston, who I admire so much, because Daryl Johnston and Tony Topper taught me how to be a professional. They did all the little things, not only on the field, but off the field that really showcased who they were. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to follow that lead. And that's the reason why my career ended up blossoming in the end. But Jimmy put together a ton of talent, but he knew how to control that talent and motivate the talent at the same time. So we ended up winning back-to-back championships. Wish he would have stayed longer for obvious reasons. But I firmly believe if Jimmy Johnson would have stayed there, we would have won at least 4 or 5 championships.
So how did you go about transitioning from on the field to ESPN and then ultimately into what I think is the best business in the on the planet?
It's called humility. It's called humility. And I get that from my mother. But, you know, in my entire life, there's always been an uphill battle. Nothing's been given to me. And it's always, and I've never really done anything by myself. There's always been someone who gave me a break. Someone lifted me up. When I was down, someone carried me. I have not, to this day, Kim, I've never done anything by myself. Someone's always laid the groundwork or helped me avoid obstacles or whatnot. But, you know, I guess when I look back at my life, the transitions I've always understood that I'm going to have to go through something to get there. And understanding that there's going to be road bumps is half the battle. It's okay, I'm going to have to do this. It's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. No one's going to give it to me. So here we go. And going from Arizona State to Dallas Cowboys to ESPN to commercial real estate, all those transitions came with a learning lesson that I had to sit back, have humility, start all over again. Hey, you go from the height of being a NFL football player to go on to ESPN and not know nothing about TV, had no journalism background, didn't know what camera to look at. You know, people were talking to my ears. Yeah, you're supposed to look at, and there's videos on YouTube. So if you're out there, look at YouTube. But I had no idea who was talking in my ear. But it was, you know, I had to go get coaching for my time at ESPN. And it was, you know, thank you, Tony Martinez, but it was continuous over and over and over coaching to get better at the craft. And then when I made the transition into commercial real estate, it was the same thing. I had so many people. Greg Burns, who's in our office at Cressa, was instrumental in helping me every single day. Just learn terminology. So it was the willingness to start all over again at the bottom. And and not knowing what was going on in the meeting and sitting there taking notes and just listening in and didn't and not knowing again, not knowing anything. That's a part of the humility that I had to go through.
You know, one of the things that I admire about you is you are so transparent. And you said the first 2.5 years in real estate kicked your butt.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And that, you
still
know,
kicking my butt. Yeah, it never ends.
It does. That's what keeps it fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, you as an athlete and a part of a team, you know that you have to have L's to get to the championship.
Yes.
And I think that's hard for a lot of people.
Yes.
You know, failure is hard. And it's a part of your psyche because that was just part of your game.
That was part of my game. So I've lost more games in my lifetime than I can think of. And you know, I think that's what really built the man that I am today and being able to make those transitions.
Mm-hmm.
I've been used to losing and then finding a way to be resilient enough to get back up the next day. Mm-hmm. That's part of it.
Yeah.
In the NFL, you lose games on a Sunday. It feels like it's, you know, tomorrow's going to be, you know, terrible. And there's all kind of criticism. I mean, your coaches are criticizing you. The fans are criticizing you. Your family is criticizing you. And then you have to watch the film of all the bad plays that you made. So that comes down on you. And then it's over with. And now it's the next day. And the ones that could overcome those losses and be resilient through it and learn something were the ones who ended up being the Hall of Fame type players. And that was the mentality that I tried to carry on through all these transitions is, you know, I'm going to take my lumps. I know I'm going to lose, but but you know one thing, I'm going to show up the next day. And I'm going to be consistently there. So that's what really helped me in the real estate game is understanding that we lost. Okay, I'm not going to point the finger. I'm the one that lost this. How do I get better?
And as a leader in your firm, how do you help younger people who are getting into the business understand that losing is a part of the game?
Yeah, you just have to. I think it's not so much talking; it's showing. Because you know, we work in teams at Cressa where I might have three people on an RFP, or we might be chasing business, and there'll be three of us. And when we lose, I'm not pointing that finger. I'm telling them, "Hey, I didn't do enough." Or, you know, if I'm the leader, I need to show them why we lost one, and then secondly, what can we do better? And for me, all I've ever known is work harder, work harder, build more relationships, get to know people. Get outside your comfort zone. And that's what I'm trying to pour into the younger brokers that are coming in. But I have so many great partners, you know, the Sharon Morrisons, then Kara Guesses, the Damian Riveras, Brad Strzok, you know, Jim Hazard. I have so many guys, so many people within that on the leadership side of it. I'm the guy that knows less than all of them. They've been in the industry for 20 some years. So I'm still learning from them. And lifting them up. And I think they just those five do a really good job around the office as far as spreading love and spreading leadership.
Mm-hmm. And building the culture.
And building the culture. And that's what it's about.
Yes, it is.
And it's been something, I think, you know, for us, we were formerly known as ESRP, went through the acquisition with Cressa in May of 2022. And I think that's what everyone liked most about us back then at ESRP is that the culture and how we go about things and the professionalism of how we handle situations and losses and how we, you know, our reputation within the industry is, you know, we'll never talk bad about another provider. That's not going to happen.
Right.
This is not going to
happen. Off limits.
It's off limits. Yeah. And I think that culture has really spawned over the years. And again, I got to give Kara Guess and Sharon Morrison a ton of credit for how they run the business.
Oh, I had an opportunity to work with Sharon. She's just one of the best I've ever worked with.
Yes,
she is so good.
Yes. And we'll hold you accountable. Trust me. Yes, trust me. You know, when you go through, when there's a company at hand and you have so many different personalities, it's not always going to be kumbaya. You're going to have some tough discussions, but the respect factor is what sits in there that says, okay, we can get through this because there's a mutual respect. So, you know, for me to sit here and say, well, it's always been great. It hasn't always been great. We've had our moments but the respect, because I respect them and they respect, you know, the rest of the team, we've been able to overcome some of those issues.
Yeah.
We'll be right back to Darren Woodson in just a moment, but first I wanted to remind you to get your tickets to this year's Young Guns Casino Night, which is coming up on Thursday, April 11th. Casino Night is our premier spring networking event for Young Guns members, a spectacular evening of casino-style gaming, philanthropy, and raffle prizes. And this year's theme is Casino Royale, James Bond. Proceeds from the event benefit the 2024 Young Guns Community Investors Project, which will support Dallas Catalyst Project Mill City. So get your tickets now at recouncil.com/upcoming-events. That's recouncil.com/upcoming-events. Now, let's get back to the show.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about diversity in our industry, because you and I share that passion for making our industry more diverse. I know you've worked at it at Cressa, ESRP and Cressa, and we feel that our industry as a whole has been slow to diversify. Mm-hmm. How are you doing it at your company?
We're trying to be more intentional. Mm-hmm. And that's the word I want to continuously use, is being more intentional, getting out of our comfort zone, and making sure that we get out of our comfort zone and get into another zone where we can make contact. Look, it's easy to sit in your office every day and do transaction. It's not easy when you have to go out and maybe you go to HBCU or go to a job fair or work with a foundation that's predominantly Hispanic and Black to talk to kids about the future and what it looks like in the commercial real estate world. That's our job. That's my job. That's my job, because if I look around, I'll be honest with you. When I first came into this business, I didn't see a lot of people that looked like me. And immediately it was, okay, let's figure out a way to bring more people or make them aware of the opportunity, because there is an opportunity in commercial real estate to really flourish if you're of a different color. There really is. And I want to provide those opportunities, but we have to bring awareness to those. And this is not just the commercial real estate silo that has to go out and do all that. It's also the other side, is bringing awareness. And that's the reason why when we started C5 years ago, C5 was to bring awareness to young kids in the inner city, that there's job opportunities out there that they may never know about, but just showing them, giving them the experience of here's an opportunity and enlightening them. Then it's like, okay, I can do that. I can become a doctor, or I can become a plumber, or whatever the skill set may be, but we have to bring awareness.
Yes, we do. Yeah. We do. Fred Parpal did a podcast for Trek and he said something that really stuck with me. He said, you know, as CEO, my role is, we want to bring one of everyone into our internship program. And we need to get the word out and make sure that we're reaching out to bring diversity into that program. From that point on, it's merit.
Yes.
It's who wants it.
Who wants
Who's going after
it? Yes. There are no gimmies.
No.
There are no gimmies. When you come in, if you don't interview well, then sorry. If you don't want it, then it's the next person up. But, you know, I just feel like we have to light that fire.
We do.
But it starts with the leadership. And Prepa Paul is one of those guys that I've seen him for years lead at the highest level. And now it's, you know, him passing down that baton to guys like myself to follow his lead as well.
It is the greatest industry in the world.
It is.
I feel like.
Oh, absolutely.
It'll be richer the more we diversify it.
That's right. That's right. And I'm anxiously awaiting the day where we start to see that happen across the board.
We're seeing it.
Yeah. Across the board.
It takes time.
It does. It's going to take time.
Seeing it.
But again, that word of being intentional, getting out of our comfort zone and making sure we have these conversations, but also getting out in the community and giving these kids an experience that they may not have had.
Letting them know that commercial real estate's not selling houses.
Exactly. Exactly. many levels.
Well, and they didn't have perhaps a mom or a dad or an uncle who introduced them into commercial real estate.
And I was one.
Yes.
I was one of those kids. How I got introduced to commercial real estate was my agent. Mm-hmm. My agent, George Bass, Worked with a company called, was the CFO of a company called Weber and Company. They did a lot of retail, still do today to this day. And that's how I was first introduced. And then I met a guy named Roger Staubach, who came in, and here's mentorship. Roger Staubach walked in that locker room and grabbed guys like Emmett Smith and myself and had conversations about what he was doing in the world. He was intentional about walking back in that locker room and helping young men like myself understand, bring awareness to the commercial real estate game. So I owe Roger so much, but that is my job today, is to bring that awareness.
That's great. Are we up for questions? Okay. Oh, okay. Okay, great. I've also read about the bounce back.
Yeah.
We talked about losses, but I love your philosophy of bounce back on a Monday,
Yeah.
And go after it. What other philosophies do you carry into your business that you learned?
Toughness. And look, it's one thing to be resilient and it's one thing to bounce back, but the mental toughness that comes along with that, and truly, and it's almost a selfish way, and I hate to say it this way, Kim, but it's kind of a selfish way of thinking. But my mom used to say, use his words. She used to always say, ain't she used to say it this way. Now I'm going to make sure I know grammatically it doesn't sound the right way, but she used to say, ain't nobody going to love you like you.
Wow.
Ain't nobody going to love you like you. And that has stuck with me because, in the end, we can all be friends and you can love me and but in the end, it's up to me to really do what I need to get done. If I want something to get done, it starts with me. So I got to love myself enough to know that, hey, no one's going to roll this out for me. The red carpet is not going to be there. I better get up and I better have a plan in place, because no one else is just going to give you a plan to go do things. So the mental toughness to have, be selfish in the fact of what do I want to accomplish? That is, to me, that's key. And I've been around and I'll use this example. I remember being a kid and watching Muhammad Ali, who used to be a boxer. I don't know if
he came to fight night.
Came to fight night, right?
That's right.
So Muhammad Ali was one of those heroes, the sports heroes of mine when I was a kid. And I used to remember how brash and how confident he was. And he was borderline cocky. And
for sure.
But, he grew up in an era of the civil rights era. And he came out and he was just, when black men weren't supposed to be out there openly talking the way he was, he could care less. He just did what he did. And whatever the darts were going to come back his way, then they just came back in his way and he just dealt with them. And I just felt like that was pure mental toughness. And I'm not saying you have to be that way when you're in commercial real estate or at your workplace, but in your mind, there's got to be a little bit of that Muhammad Ali in you that's talking to yourself and telling you, I can accomplish this. I can get this done.
Yeah. That with the humility is a
but the
beautiful
humility.
Combination.
Absolutely.
It's a beautiful
Absolutely.
Combination.
You got to balance it.
So your mother said, ain't nobody going to love you like you. I'm sure you've passed that along to your children.
Absolutely.
I know you're a father of many.
Yeah. Yeah. It's look, it's tough being a parent.
Yeah. You have four. Right?
I have four. Yeah. So I go from the ranges
That's awesome.
Of 29 to seven.
That's great.
And it's always a challenge working with kids because you're dealing with different personalities. I always felt like
it's also different.
And you can't just paint them all with the same brush, right? You want to, and it's the same way in the office. You can't paint everybody with the same brush. Everyone has their own intricate ways. So I try to spend time alone. And I got a piece of advice from my agent, George Bass, who I talked about earlier. He said, date your daughter. You date your daughter. And I said, what do you mean? He says, you need to go out on dates every week, once a week with your daughter. Make it a Thursday or Friday. Doesn't matter what day it is. after school, at lunch, date your daughter. And I remember that being said, and I thought, man, that is very interesting. But then I started dating not only my daughter, but my sons, and try to spend time with them. And I can't tell you one-on-one time, and how much it opened up, and how much I learned from those moments where I had an hour and a half to spend with them outside of the house. I learned a lot. Not always good. Not a, all of it wasn't always good, but you know, I had an ear, an open ear, and I didn't always want to give them advice. I asked the question with my kids, which I hope you do too, is, do you want advice? Do you want me to listen, or do you want advice? And, you know, I have a couple of boys who always say, just listen.
Yeah.
Without the criticism,
valuable.
Just listen. And that's what I would do. And it was hard.
Yeah.
But, you know, a good ear is, it's either going to be my ear or someone else's ear.
Yeah.
I'd rather be mine.
That's right.
Yeah.
And as they get older, you have to back off more, listen more.
Yeah, listen more.
Speak less.
Yeah. Well, I was mean when they were in their teens. Yeah, and then they came back from school, and I was the night.
Okay.
I gave them so much good advice. I wish they would, you know what
so
I mean?
You were That's, tough.
Oh, I was
when they
tough.
Were teenagers.
Very, very much so. Sometimes some regrets, but yeah, that's all I knew.
Mm-hmm.
I came from a background where my mother was a tough mom. She had to
Yeah.
be.
Yeah.
But she, you know, she raised four kids and graduated from college. So, I mean, that's
it's amazing. You
yeah.
still have your mom, right?
Still my mom. Yeah.
Oh.
And she's still telling me what to do. Every
Kindness too.
Yeah,
you know,
it's
comes with
never
the territory.
Stops. Yeah,
that's
yeah.
right. Well, is there anything else that you would like to share with the group?
No, I think, I mean, we've talked about me enough. I just, you know, I feel passionate about the real estate, commercial real estate. I'm still growing in this industry. You know, I may be up in age, but at the same time, I feel like there's so much room for growth. I feel like there's so many on the inclusion side of things. You know, I want to be there to light that way. No, I'm not going to be able to do everything, but enlighten others to help and be intentional about DE&I. But I, in this community, this Dallas-Fort Worth community, I feel like it's our job as those that are leaders to get out in the community and help and provide a resource and level the playing field for a lot of kids who are just begging for opportunities. They're begging for opportunities. And you know, it's our job to do something about it.
Well, and it makes our companies better.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
Craig Hall he's very intentional
yeah.
about bringing people, I mean, from a global perspective,
yeah.
you know, into our company. And it's just made it so much richer
yeah.
and different perspectives and different, you know, people to bounce ideas off. We look more like the people we're doing business with.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Which is really important with what you do,
yeah.
you know, and your clients.
Yeah. 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 So that's, and that's just it. I mean, our clients are the same, you know, different backgrounds, different nationalities, and we want to look the part and be the part. I'll say one thing that really sticks with me right now. So I am burning hot on education right now. Because I think that was the lifeblood of me getting to where I am today. And it was not only just the education, but it was the discipline that came along with getting that education, right? It was showing up at the right time, all the time, taking the tests, doing exams, and having wins and losses, and being embarrassed by that, you know, failing a class. I mean, all those little things it takes to get there, right? Because it's not always about what you're learning in class. It's sometimes just about the discipline of getting it done, right? I feel like there's that part of the education in the inner city here in Dallas needs to change. There's got to be we have to level out. And I'm high on right now is starting a charter school in somewhere in South Dallas and giving those kids that opportunity. That's where I'm burning hot right now. And it's something right now that I've thought about, and I know I'm saying this right now, probably for one of the first times, but now that it's on me,
you heard it here.
Yeah. Now that it's on me, it's time.
Yeah.
It's time for me, because it's a fear factor for me to say, okay, do I have the bandwidth? Can I really step out and do this?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's time.
Well, and you know, there's plenty of people to partner with.
That's right. That's
you know,
right.
The Real Estate Council, we serve in underserved neighborhoods and build coalition. You know, we call our service the Catalyst Project because we serve as a catalyst to bring other nonprofits in, other investors in, and really transform neighborhoods.
Right.
And a school is a huge part of that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there are plenty of people to partner with. I encourage you because you can make it happen, but you'll have a lot of people working with you
absolutely
to make it happen. Because there are others that are so passionate about that.
Yeah. And again, I've done it by myself. I'm going to need partners to do it. So that's so true.
Yeah. Sean, do we have any questions? The question is, what's something that you know about life now that you wish you had known back years ago?
Something I know about life now, that sometimes it's okay to see if the door is open before trying to run through the wall. Like, I've always been a guy who's burned hot, and
I love that.
I run through the wall. Like, I'm going to do it, and I just full charge. And sometimes it's easier to just go see if the door is unlocked and open the door. And I say that because, I mean, and that door being, there's so many people that have laid the groundwork before you to get to where you are. And sometimes it's okay. And I think it's all the time. It is okay to go ask for advice instead of thinking that you can do it by yourself. Right. Or yeah, maybe I have two people, but there's, I can't tell you from a young age, and as I've aged, then I've started to really look for advice, outwardly look. But early on in my life, I was, I'm going to do it.
A little hesitant to do that.
Yeah, I'm just going to do it. I don't need anyone to tell me. And I could have really explored different opportunities if I would have just asked.
That's great advice. Yeah. That's great advice. Any other questions? Well, great. Yeah. Well, we'll start to wrap up here. Gosh, this has been great.
Oh,
I have enjoyed our conversation so much, and I really enjoyed doing a little homework and listening to your podcast. I highly recommend you have a number of different podcasts, and just kudos for what you're doing, and
thank you, thank you
for sharing your message.
Thank you.
Really appreciate it. I do want to say, you know, as we've talked about diversity, Trek has taken an active role in diversity, equity, inclusion in our industry. And I want to read our statement, something that resonates with both of us. We must utilize diverse, equitable, and inclusive practices to enrich, transform, and build the city that we imagine. We provide exposure, opportunity, and mentorship, creating a diverse membership and inclusive culture as we focus on leadership development, public policy, and community investment. So thank you again.
No, Kim,
and
thank you.
Thank you all for joining us, and go have a put your shoes on kind of day.
That's all for us today. I'd like to thank Kim Butler and Darren Woodson for their awesome conversation, as well as the AT&T Discovery District for hosting us. Be sure to subscribe to the show to get all new episodes, follow Trek and Trek Community Investors on social media, and get your tickets for Market Matters and Casino Night at recouncil.com/upcoming-events. One more time, that's recouncil.com/upcoming-events. Thank you all again for listening. We'll see you next time.